Today is our last talk on the prophetic. Well, at least for now. And I'm going to wind things up today, talking about a little bit of false prophecy and then bringing a summation to the prophetic realm, which I hope has been fruitful for you to understand, because it's a very critical time we understand the prophetic because of the times we're living in. We're living in prophetic times, and we're a prophetic church. So this is important. Next week, we'll get back to some talks about previous revivals and then make it current to current revival. And then I'm going to actually, as I told you before, get into the manifest presence of God and intimacy, which should draw us personally closer into the Lord so that we can achieve, or shouldn't I say achieve, but we can operate through these things in the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father, thank you that, Lord, we've been studying your word. We know that Jesus Christ is the chief apostle, the chief prophet, the chief evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And as we've been studying the prophetic, we realize that the authority of the prophetic from the Old Testament to the New Testament has changed, but you're the same God, and the prophetic is the same way. It's your heart conveyed to the people. Either way, whether it's an ultimate authority or secondary to the apostolic authority, the prophetic is your heart for the people. So I pray that today you'll work through me to convey this message of what's not prophetic, and to discern between what's real and what you've explained in your scriptures and what's not. And then sum it up, Lord, the best way that, Father, we can understand it the best. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to wrap this up discussing false prophecy. And then again, like I said, put everything into proper perspective. Derek Prince is quoted as saying this: to permit the exercise of prophecy without requiring to be subjected to scriptural judgment is against the teaching of the New Testament, and it commonly leads to abuses which discredit prophecy as a whole, and it frustrates the purposes for which true prophecy is given. You want me to wrap that up? Pastors and teachers, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because when people get up in false prophecy, they say it's not for today and therefore it doesn't exist and they're just abusing it. I'll read it again because it's important. Derek Prince says, to permit the exercise of prophecy without requiring it to be subjected to scriptural judgment, we have to judge the prophets, is against the teaching of this New Testament and commonly leads to abuses which discredit prophecy as a whole and frustrate the purposes for which God gave us this prophecy in the first place. So how do we discern then becomes the question, right? True prophecy. How do we know whether it's real? Well, start with asking some questions. And obviously these questions would go to those who are attempting to be prophetic or exercising in the prophetic. And here they are. And we'll start with these. And these are the questions I would ask them. Is Jesus Lord of that person's life? Lots of people go to church, but have never made Jesus Lord.
That's right.
I'm not just talking about prophecy, I'm talking about any gift. Lots of people flood the churches and know about Him. How many know Him? How many have knocked on the door and say, Jesus, let me in? And He says, get away from me, I never knew you. But didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And He says, get away, I never knew you. And that's what we're talking about. There's going to be those that will stand up in prophecy, and we have to discern whether they're real or not real. And God gives us the ability through the Holy Spirit to discern that. And it starts with questions like this. You need to find out from that and look at that person and discern, is Jesus really Lord of their life? That means He's boss. Total control. Nothing reserved for that person. Not even a half of a percent. Sold out to Jesus. Now, we know that a half a percent and a percent gets in there sometimes, and there's forgiveness for the, you know, because of the cross. And so that's where the brethren comes in to help, what? Hold each other accountable and to train. That's what Wednesday nights are for. You may miss it. That's okay. God knows. Your heart's right. But we have to learn how to what? Again, flow with the Holy Spirit. And you better start flowing, because there's no sitting gift. I keep saying that every week. There's no sitting gift. Is Jesus Lord of the person's life? Are they filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, come on, you know, most of us, you know, are pretty mature enough at this point in our walk with Jesus, if we've been walking for at least a few years with him, to know and recognize what's of the Holy Spirit and what's of the devil. If I said unforgiveness, you'd say the devil. If I said joy, you'd say the Holy Spirit. We just need to discern whether someone's filled with the Holy Spirit. Generally, if they're smiling, if they have a great countenance, they're exhibiting what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, at least in some form, because we don't all exhibit it all the time, right? We can tell that they have, you can tell when someone's got the Holy Spirit or not. Generally, you can tell if someone's a Christian or not. If I'm around somebody for 2 minutes, I can tell you whether or not they're really a Christian or not, if you ask the right questions or if you have a conversation. Usually they reveal it themselves by just talking. But this is what God wants us to do. We're to be constantly in discernment, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And even the elect, he's trying to fool the elect. And the elect are those that are very mature and they have all of these gifts. But if we get so pompous and we think we're so up there and we've got better gifts than everybody else, that's where you get in real trouble, because humility is the key to remaining in the good grace of God. Are they filled with the Holy Spirit? Do they have Jesus as Lord? Is there a reasonable measure of true godliness and holiness about the prophetic person? Is there, and that's kind of what I just explained, a reasonable measure of true godliness and holiness about the prophetic person? In other words, or have they been set apart to do some good, godly things, and are they doing them? If all they do is come in and prophesy, but the rest of their life throughout the week exhibits all these other things and has no godliness or holiness about it, then I'd question whether or not that's a genuine prophet or not.
That's right.
Does this person display the fruit of the Spirit in their life? And I just named them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Some of those things, we ought to recognize some of those things in a person that has the Holy Spirit and is genuine. Here's a good one. Does the person practice what they preach? It's all about what we're watching, folks, because you can spout anything off from your mouth, but if you're not living it and you're not doing it, you're not genuine. Do you practice what you preach? Does that prophet submit to the word of God and the government of the local church? Boy, is that a big one.
Yeah.
There's no rogue prophets out there like in the Old Testament, where it was just them and God gave them the message and they were the authority and they gave it to people. Today we submit to apostolic authority. Today we submit to the written word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. It does not change. And God, this is God. He says, don't add to it and don't take away from it. That prophet must submit to that apostolic authority of the local church. And if they don't have a local church or a covering, and they say they're just out there prophesying without any covering whatsoever, I would be very careful. It's not to say it doesn't happen, but I would be very careful. Because when you're not under authority, any type, you have a tendency to go rogue. Or at least your own feelings to take over and your own agenda. And it's not God's. If they do not submit to the word of God and the government, what's the government of the local church? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Checks and balances, just like we have in our government, except we're not democratic here in the church. Okay? But there's checks and balances. That fivefold ministry will be a good check for that prophet, just as it would be for the apostle or the pastor or the teacher. But if they're not, they become tempted to establish their own doctrine. And I've seen it. And even though they may prophesy, they are not a part of his body and don't really know him. And I just told you about that. When Jesus says, didn't we prophesy in your name? And he said, get away from me, I never knew you. Because he wasn't Lord. We didn't see the Holy Spirit in him. They weren't under a covering. They had no accountability. They had their own agenda. That's how we recognize false prophecy. Okay? Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Stand up in front of church and give a good word, encouragement, edification. And in your name, in your nature, in your character, didn't we cast out demons? And in your name, your character, your nature, perform many miracles. This is kind of scary, folks. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You say one thing, but you do another. You're going to go to conferences, folks. You're going to see signs that advertise, come for your miracle. Miracle service today. Not saying that any of those are bad or good or wrong, but you're going to have to discern what's real and what's not real. I'm not sure how you advertise that kind of thing when God's the one doing it through you. Unless he's already guaranteed that tonight, so-and-so on that billboard, I'm going to fulfill all those miracles. Do you see how you have to kind of use reason that God gave you? It's like you know, we don't live by reason. We live by the Holy Spirit prompting, right? But he has given us reason so we can relate to this world with it. You have feelings so that you can relate to this world with it. When we get a glorified body, you're not going to have to worry about that. You'll be able to walk straight through that wall. But in the natural, you try to walk straight through that wall right now, David, what's going to happen? David's going to get a bump on the top of his head. Do you understand the difference? You're in the dirt. God gave you feelings. He gave you reason. He gave you a brain to use it to relate to this world. But when we're operating in the things of the Spirit, you better quench those things and connect with God and let the Holy Spirit flow through you. And that's what we're doing when we're judging the prophet. The prophet can get up here and he can act in the natural. Because he's been acting in the supernatural so long, sometimes he can just bypass that and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to ask God today and I'm just going to prophesy. That's what we have to watch out for. Same thing with teaching. I've been a teacher all my life, but if you're not connecting with what God wants to speak through you, you're going to get up there and you're going to bomb. Do you get that? Wisdom and discernment. That's what we're doing here. False prophecy versus real prophecy. Scripture speaks of three types of false prophets. Sorry, Renee. Scripture speaks of three types of false prophets in the church. In other words, oftentimes we see these spirits working in most churches. That's not all of it, but these are the three major ones working in the church based on Scripture. The first is Balaam. Does anybody remember the story of Balaam? He knew how to move in the Holy Spirit. He was prophetic, but he never allowed the Holy Spirit to shape his character because he was being swayed by the king, saying, hey, we can get you famous from this. We can give you money. You say this for us, okay? Here, you come in, but I want you to give this message. I know what God may be telling you, but, you know, because he told him. God says, no, I can't do that. But the king kept swaying him. His donkey had to get a hold of him at least one time and say, don't you go there and do what you're about to do. He didn't quite say it that way. The donkey just stood there and stopped his way. But the angel was getting ready to what? He knew the whole motivation why Balaam was going there. He probably had made the decision in his heart to go and say, you know what, I'll give them the right message, but I'll also give them what they want so I can get what I want. And that's what happens with a false prophet. Oh, I'm doing God's work, and I believe they're genuine and want to see God glorified, but then all of a sudden they too want to be glorified. The spirit of Balaam, his weakness was greed. He didn't allow God to shape his character. That happens to a lot of people in a lot of different ministries. We don't let God shape our character. We just do the work, the duty of the ministry, without letting God work on us first. See, when I preach to me first. When I went through what you went through in communion, I had already gone through it. That's why I gave it to you, because it really convicted me. Anyone in any ministry, wherever you have, the first thing that you ought to examine is yourself. Then you can look at others and preach the word and give them a message. Balaam loved money too much and was willing to compromise in order to get an honorarium, if you will. Yeah. I just applied that to today. Right. We give honorariums to people who come in here and give a good prophetic word for us. When they give a bad prophetic word, sometimes they probably hold back that honorarium and tell them don't come back. When I say bad word, maybe it's a rebuke. 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And that's the spirit we're talking about. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression. From who? A mute donkey, speaking with a voice of a man. Now, if God wants to get your attention, if you're really going off track, but he still loves you, he'll use a jackass, right, to come right up to you and tell you that that's exactly what you are right now and you better change. Restrained, He restrained the madness of the prophet. Look at these words. The madness of the prophet. The donkey recognized, and of course the angel who was standing before him recognized, the prophet had gone mad. He had must have, and again, we don't read all of it, but he must have made the decision that he was going to tell what the king wanted him to say instead of God for his own prophet. No pun intended. The prophet wanted his own prophet, right? Okay. Jude 11, stick to my day job, right? Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay, they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. In other words, for pay. Those guys prophesied for pay. Don't do that, folks. We never, when we do For Your Health, we never charge for ministry. We just don't charge for ministry. How do you do that, right? When you give your tithes and alms and offerings, I don't know if you really think that you're giving to us, but you're not. You're giving to God. Now, God will distribute that to those who are doing his work, like us and nursery care workers and other people that are being paid for that stuff. But the bottom line is that, you know, for someone to I'm not going to go there. Just be careful of your motivation behind the ministry that you do. Yes. Are you doing it for God or are you doing it for pay? Secondly, it's the second type of prophet, false prophet you see in the churches. There's a false prophetess. Hey, there's women prophets, right? There's a false prophetess called Jezebel. We all know her. You've seen them on all the Bible stories. Who made it her objective to silence the voice of true prophecy. Her objective was to silence the voice of the true prophet. Even though she's an Old Testament figure, she's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 as operating inside the local church. How about that? Let's read it. She's inside the local church, folks. And that's not she literally is in here. That spirit comes into a church. So Jesus speaking to the local churches, right, in his day, I've got this against you. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent. You know, Jesus wasn't just in the New Testament. He was in the Old Testament too as God Almighty, right? He was by the right hand of the Father. People back then still could repent. They knew right from wrong. And then when Jesus went down, right, when he was crucified and liberated all those, he said, yes, the Christ who was to come. And Jesus was the first fruits of resurrection. And then those guys, the Old Testament saints that died in the Lord, they went with him, right? He said, I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Folks, when we do communion, you have time to repent. If you don't choose to repent from your immorality or whatever it is that your sin you're dealing with, my suggestion is the next time, don't take communion until you're ready to repent. If you know that you have a sin that you're dealing with that you're just not willing to give up, right? Because all you're doing is mocking what Jesus did for you. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness. What does it say when we take communion unworthily? What does he say? Some people, what? Fall asleep prematurely. You know what that means? You die. Don't take that chance. Not everybody dies. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her, in other words, join her in her fornication, her rebellion against God. It says, those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, in other words, you're going to have problems, unless they repent of her deeds. You're going to have trials and tribulations like you wouldn't believe. And I will kill her children. Oh, man, why would we be so selfish to rebel against God? Okay, you want to rebel against God as a father or a mother or whatever and stuff like that, and you're willing to commit yourself to hell, but why would you do that to your children? At least give them the opportunity to be ministered to by the truth. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. Now's the time to say grace. Thank God for grace. But don't ever trample on it. Just because you have grace does not give you a license or permission to sin. That's trampling upon grace. Well, I said I do, and he's got me going, so I can do anything I want in life. You go ahead and believe that. I dare on the side of caution. Because he says, do not trample on grace. He says, persevere, endure until the end, and he who overcomes will inherit. He who overcomes. Give up and don't overcome and go serve the devil. You know, don't start claiming that you're gods. He'll say, get away from me. I never knew you. But maybe at one time you really did. That's a debate that'll go on until we meet Jesus, right? That's not the important point here. The important point is here is that God hates sin in the Old Testament, and God hates sin in the New Testament, right? So, Jezebel was a manipulator. This person, this manipulator, this Jezebel spirit, prays and prophesies to manipulate others according to their will, not God's. It's basically called witchcraft.
Right.
Now, the third type of false prophet, the last one we'll talk about today, is Absalom. Does everybody remember Absalom? He was David's son. Absalom was David's son. And what did he try to do? He tried to steal his father's kingdom from him because he didn't feel like his father was doing the job right. Ooh. It's called a sheep stealing or a church splitting, to bring it into current terms, attitude. Stealing sheep, splitting church. Hey, I don't agree with what you're doing, so I'm going to open a church three doors down. I don't agree with what you're doing, so I'm going to open a church. That's called division, folks. God is into multiplication. God is into unity. God is into adding. Absalom's spirit wants to take what you have, and he wants it for himself. Remember the conspiracy, again, with David's kingdom. So the bottom line here is pretty obvious. All prophecy must be tested. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Paul tells us, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others do what? Pass judgment. Another way you could say is discern it and find out, hey, are these guys operating with the right spirit, or is it a manipulative spirit, or is it a selfish spirit, or is it, you know, witchcraft, or is it for their own personal gain, or is it, right? Go back to each one of them, and you'll find out. So let two or three prophets and let the others pass judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19-22. Do not quench the spirit. Whoa, that means, you know what? Just because there's going to be false prophets out there doesn't mean you stop every prophet from getting up in front of your church. We're not going to believe in it. We're not going to let it happen because there's a danger of something bad happening. Well, you'd never get anywhere in life if you were in danger of something happening. That's living by fear. I may get the coronavirus or something like that. So you just take yourself and put yourself in a box and you get sick because you have no immune system anymore. At some point, we just have to do what's prudent, yes, but trust God. You're not going to die one day before God has ordained for you if you're a true child of Him. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Wow, that speaks for itself. Don't come against those who are prophesying. Judge it. But don't come against it. It says what? Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. I say spit out the bones and eat the meat. Judge it. If they got into the flesh a little bit after church, hey, awesome word from God. But you know what? You stepped into your feelings and your own little way there for a little bit. You know, keep an eye on that. Put your own self in check. Nothing wrong with that. Well, Pastor, I don't resemble that. I resent that. I'm going somewhere else. Okay, go take your garbage somewhere else. But the bottom line is if you're a son of the house or you're a daughter of the house or you're part of this place, our job is to raise you up in the way you should go. And don't think that I'm excluded from that. I get training. I'm still submitting myself to authority. I'm still underneath good teaching. And a lot of that stuff I bring to you. I mean, we all have to be submitted to God Almighty and for those that have been put into our life to help us grow. Because the whole job of the church is to equip the saints for works of service. It's not for us to exercise and make ourselves strong. It's to make you all strong. That's what Jesus said. That's why the fivefold ministry came to be. To equip the saints for works of service. And yet everything happens from up here in a lot of churches and nothing happens out there. Or we just organize a bunch of people together to join us and lead. When there's plenty of leaders that are sitting out into the congregation and never get a chance to. Amen. Abstain from every form of evil. Hello? First John 4:1, more, Brett. Beloved, I love it when he calls us that. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. What word did he use there? Many. So that means we better be on our toes when someone comes in here and begins to prophesy, especially if it's a visitor or a guest person coming in, because we should know our own, right? Pretty much. But when you go somewhere else and you're listening to a prophet on television, or you're listening to a prophet in a podcast, or you're listening to a prophet at a conference and stuff like that, you better have your game on.
That's right.
Folks, either the Holy Spirit is the one speaking through a person, or the spirit of the man himself. So it's either the Holy Spirit or you. But there's a third. It could also be an evil spirit. There are prophets that will allow an evil spirit to operate through them. I found most of the time amongst ourselves that when someone gets off on prophecy a little bit, it's because their own spirit takes over. But when you're visiting or you're doing those, or you bring somebody in or something and you don't know your own very well, it could be an evil spirit that's actually operating through that false prophet. You have to discern that. No, we have to discern that. So ask those questions we discussed earlier today. Remember? You can also discern prophetic utterances by the following, okay? You can also discern what's real by asking the following questions. Does it build up? Does it encourage? Does it lovingly correct? Does it agree with the letter and the spirit of Scripture? Does it glorify Jesus? Does the person produce godly fruit? Do their predictions, if there are any, fulfill? Are they fulfilled? Do they turn people towards obedience? Do they emphasize liberty over bondage? Do they produce life? And does it bear witness? Here's a biggie. And does it bear witness in your spirit? Or do you get that, eh?
Yeah.
These are great ways to test prophecy. Now let's put the last few months of talking about prophecy into proper perspective. That covers false prophecy. Obviously, you know we need to test it. And those are good questions to ask if you're going to test prophecy. So let's put it all together over the last 12 weeks. Here are some healthy attitudes to have towards operating in the prophetic. Desire. Remember he says, above all the gifts, desire to prophesy. Remember Paul said that? Desire to hear and to understand, because that's what prophecy is. We hear God's heart, we understand it, and we convey it. So desire, some good insight here, healthy attitudes about the prophetic. Desire to hear and understand. Do not be skeptical or gullible. Don't look for a demon under every rock. At the same time, don't be gullible and just think that every person who stands up is a prophet. Or everything that you have in your heart is to be shared. Sometimes it's just for you. Listen with a willing heart. Don't have a preconceived agenda going into prophecy. Oh, I know God's kind of moving in this direction, so I'm just going to have an attitude of prophecy towards that direction. He may flip you upside down, turn you inside out, and have you prophesy on something totally different than what the whole thing was going on over here with. Could be. Generally, he goes in a flow, but sometimes he'll take you out of that flow and put you on a little place, and you're going to be going, oh my God, if you don't show up, I'm going to get stoned. Ever feel like that as a prophet? They're going to stone me. I felt that way as a teacher. I thought apples and things were going to come at me at times. Especially when, you know, you start teaching on repentance and sin. Again, these are all good, healthy attitudes to have. Listen with a willing heart. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Hello? Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Seek further confirmation from the Lord. Yeah. Don't just go off of maybe just, I had a little whim or I had a little inkling. Seek confirmation. God, if you really want me to speak this, you know, confirm that in me. Yes. Okay? Listen in faith. Listen in faith. Don't just listen with your ears to hear just what normally would come in. And listen in faith, believing that God wants to, and is about to do something in and through you or through the person that is speaking to you. Take confidence in your ability to hear the Lord's voice. Oh, Pastor, I don't know, was that God or not? I don't know whether it's that God or not. Well, you know what? If it agrees with Scripture, if it's edifying, if it's encouraging, if it's exhortation, if it's you got the right heart, you're serving God, you're humble and you're willing to submit and you're doing all these things, take confidence in the fact that God's going to use you and speak through you. Yeah. I don't know if I'm able to do it. I just have never done it before. Wednesday nights, come on Wednesday nights and give it a shot. And if it all bears witness, what you're hearing in the Spirit, obey it.
That's right.
Hear and obey. I know the song is trust and obey, but I'm telling you to hear, trust and obey. Now, some warnings. Here are some warnings when operating in this gift. Do not overemphasize personal prophecy. Do not overemphasize little personal prophecies. Minister under the authority, as we said before, of the local church. Watch out for parking lot prophecies where there's no authority figures around. Yeah. Oh, I need to give you this prophecy, but you didn't do it in front of any witnesses or people that might hold you accountable or be able to witness or discern it. Some things are private. I'm not discounting the fact that some things are personal and you give that prophesy, but then it's up to that individual to discern it. But watch out for those people who are not under authority that pull into your parking lot that say they're not part of a local church and I have this prophecy that God gave me for this church and for you. But they have no authority figures. Warning, warning, Will Robinson. Anybody ever watch that show? That's a warning. Watch out for parking lot prophecies, you know. It's to take place in the church, predominantly. Minister under the authority of the local church. Again, never use prophecy to justify rebellion and sin.
Right.
Somebody's in rebellion and sin, don't make them feel good. Remember edification, exhortation, that's what prophecy is. Sometimes when we're feeling sorry for somebody and they're all over themselves and they've been in rebellion and sin, you just got to tell them, you're right, you were. I love you, but you need to repent. So that you get that place with God again where you're hearing and He's using you. Yeah. Never justify it. Never use it to control or manipulate others. Do not use it for personal gain. Do not become presumptuous, critical, or judgmental. So in conclusion, a balanced prophetic ministry is where God's word is always elevated and is the plumb line by which all prophetic utterances are measured. I got to say it again. To sum it all up, a balanced prophetic ministry is where God's word is always elevated and is the plumb line, the measurement by which all prophetic utterances are measured. And when there is true prophecy going on, apply it. Oh, that was great. That prophetic word was right spot on. Well, did you hear it and does it apply to you? Because if it does, you better act on it because that's where faith comes in. Apply it. Don't just applaud it. Apply it. Don't just applaud it. The word of the Holy Spirit is a call to action. Do you hear me? These are profound statements. The word of the Holy Spirit is to call us to action. It's never just to tickle our ears. Oh, once in a while, if you're down and out and stuff like that, it might just to make you feel good. But it's usually a call to action, not to entertain or excite us. We get all excited and we get entertained, but there's no action. There's no response on our part. finally, I close with a quote from an Englishman named David Watson. David Watson. And here's his quote. "The church that is alive and relevant for today's generation must always be a prophetic church. We must therefore listen very carefully in order to discern what God is saying to us today. It will always be in accordance with the teaching of Scripture, and there is no such thing as new revelation or new doctrine. But the Spirit of God will always be wanting to pinpoint certain aspects of the total truth of God's Word that are especially relevant for today. And that will almost certainly be different from what was especially relevant for yesterday." That's where the difference comes in. The relevance from yesterday to today. But always in agreement with the overall revelation of God. Folks, our prayer should be this: God, breathe afresh on us. We want a fresh prophetic word for our world and for our church today.